spent the last several shiurim discussing the malach of kosei. I'll begin the opposite of the malach of kosei. That's the malach of mochek. So the Gemara tells us something interesting about mochek. You know, if you think about it, most people would probably say that kosei somehow is a worse of a malach. There's more chavadik in malach than the mochek. Yeah, kosei, your mom is creating a letter. Mochek, you're just removing a letter. So the Gemara says that it's interesting that there's a particular halacha, a quirk about the malach of mochek, which doesn't even exist by the malach of kosei. The malach of kosei, so the shear of kosei is lichtov beis osios, that you have to write two letters. If a person writes one letter, so one would not be chayiv on Shabbos. It's a shayla in the poskim, and we said you're a chatzis shear, not. But in terms of being chayiv, a skilin, kankores, and chatzas, so the kach nemra alach moshe mesina, the shear of kosei is ksivas beis osios. Comes the Gemara and says, when it comes to mochet, the shear is not beis osios. Let's say a person has a letter and he erases that letter, he could still be chayef a Shabbos. Why? If he's mochet os ketana, I'm sorry, mochet os gedola v'yesh bo lichto beis osios. I mean, if he erases a tiny, tiny letter, one tiny letter, and there's no room to write in that mokom where he erases more than one letter, then he's not going to be chayef. But if he erased a big aleph, and now there's room for a sofer to write two little yud there, so mochik os gedola v'yesh bo lichtov beis ketana, as v'yesh bo lichtov beis osios ketanas, he's going to be chayef. So nimsa chomer b'mochik v'bekosei. Then in order to be chayef v'kosei, you have to actively write two letters. In order to be chayef v'mochik, you can be chayef even if you erase one letter, as long as it's kedei lichtov beis osios. Why is that? So the chara, because the whole thrust of the malach of mochek is mochek amanas lichtov. It means mochek is not intrinsically a malach. Mochek is only a malach because it's machshir the malach of maksiva. So as long as you're machshir malach of lichtov beis osios, even though you, Ramaisa, only erased one letter, you're going to be chayav. That's the chiddush of the Gemara concerning the malach of mochek. So comes the Rosh, and Mazar HaShabbos, and says, once we've in effect redefined malachas kosev, it's not so important that you're erasing osios, haraya. You can erase one letter and still be chayav. Once we redefine malachas mochek, that's not the ma'isa mechika that's really the issue, but it's the heksha ksiva. The mochek is a malacha only because it enables you to go ahead and to write now, says the Rosh. We can extrapolate from the Gemara the following chiddush. Let's say a person doesn't erase a letter in order to write two letters. Rather, he just erases a blob of ink in order to write two letters. Let's say somebody, he's writing a Sefer Torah, and he spills the blob of ink on the Sefer Torah. So he wants to get rid of it because he wants to be able to write the next two letters. So he goes and he takes a razor blade, takes a knife, takes an eraser or something. He goes there and he smears off the ink, he gets rid of the ink, and now he's able to go ahead and to write Beis Osios at that point. So comes the Rosh and says, L'char, the person is going to be chayav. Says the Rosh, might have to mean now, whether you erase a letter in order to write a letter, whether you erase ink, or you erase something else that's blocking you, that's preventing you from writing a letter. If the nature of Malachas Mochik would have been that Mechik is based, is Kachnem Malachas, see, that's the name of the game, it's got to be a Mechik of something which is a shame, O's. Then you can't extrapolate from there to Mechikas Dio. But once you see from the fact that the Mechikas Beis Osios isn't really so important, Harayim, even in Mechikas Beis Osios, even Mechikas Beis Osios is good enough to be Chayav, because the whole Malach of Mochik is Nikra Shem Behechshar Ksiva, spend by Naf Kemina, and says the Rosh further, says the Rosh, the letter that was written betoast, the big letter that the person wants to erase in order to write in its place two letters, so that letter is anyway command away. So that's not what's supposed to be in the book anyway. That's not what's supposed to be in the next part of the cemetery anyway. So that letter is a pialacha, like the tipas dio, that's like a drop of ink. It means a letter that doesn't belong anyway, a letter that's been removed anyway, a pidin anyway isn't considered to be real kosher. So therefore, there's no difference between a mechikas Os gedola k'nei lichtov beis osios ketanos, and mechikas tipas dio k'nei lichtov beis osios as well. That's the chiddush of the Rosh. So if you take this chiddush of the Rosh, perhaps you can extend this chiddush even one step further. So comes the Bach and says, just as the Gemara says, that I have a big letter and I erase that letter in order to enable me to write two small letters, I'm going to be chayav. Because the whole thrust of Malachas Mochek is the Heksher HaKsiva aspect. And just as the Rosh extended that to mean, what's the difference whether you're erasing a big letter or whether you're erasing a blob of ink? That's also Heksher HaKsiva. Says the Bach, what would that Malachah be in the following case? Let's say I have two letters that are written already. I have a Sefer Torah. I have a word that's written. Everything is kedusha within it. But some wax fell on top of the letters. This was a common problem in the old days. If you wrote it at night, if you wrote by a candlelight, so you'd have wax that would fall on the letters. Somebody something fascinating. They showed me they had access to Ksav Yad of the Grun. The handwritten notes of the Grun. Some Yishalvim, Zroim, or something. And on the, they showed me a copy of it, but on the Ksav Yad itself, you can see the spots of wax. You can see the place where the grow is literally the candlelight where the little drops of wax will fall all around on the sides of the writing. So here the guy's writing a Sefer Torah and boom, some wax falls onto the Yosias. So comes the Bach and says, now the person wants to remove the wax, he can't read the letter. So he wants to remove the wax, he wants to scrap away the wax. So comes the Bach and says, to scratch away the wax on Shabbos would be Meleches Noichek. Says the Bach, just as the Gemara says that to erase a big letter in order to write two little letters is considered to be mochek, even though you weren't mochek beis osios, you were only mochek kidei shir ksivas beis osios, it doesn't matter, because molekas mochek is nikra shem hechshe ksiva. And just as the Rosh extended that to mean tipas dio was also considered to be a hechshe ksiva when you erase the tipas dio, so to say the Bach, what's the difference whether it's a letter, whether it's tipas dio, whether it's wax, it's not a pre-existing letter. Any time you create an effect, it has shechiva. Beforehand the letter wasn't written. Beforehand the letter was canceled. Before the letter was as possible, it was wax on, you couldn't read it. So you remove the wax. So you're in effect writing that letter. That's what the Bach's chiddush is. So come a group of echareinim and say, this...
When you remove the wax and the letter exposed...
The letter's exposed, that's called mochek. That's the Bach's chiddush, that's called mochek. Oh, well, we're going to get to Chag Tochot in a second. That's exactly what we get to. We're going to see when we get to Chag Tochot, so we'll see what that means. So come the Acharonim and jump on the Bach and say, wait a second, the Gemara, that's okay, the Gemara makes sense. When you erase a big letter to in order to enable you to write two little letters, that's called Hashik Shiva. And the Rush makes sense also when you erase the ink that fell on the parchment in order to write afterwards, that's also, I understand, that's called Mochek. I'm going to flick off, you're going to be Chai, that's called Hashik Shiva. But over here, when you have a letter that's written, you have two letters that are written, and now you have wax that fell on top of the letters, so Yesh Lach, what's Pshat? So the Chorov, let's say the Sefer Torah, you can't read the Sefer Torah that way. Everybody agrees you have to remove the wax. The question is, why do you have to remove the wax? What's Pshat? Do we say that a letter that's covered over with wax, that's not readable, is Ois letter? It means it's this Batel Shemos. It's not considered to be Kosov at that point. Is that the Pshat? Is that really true? That a letter that can't be read because it's covered by something is considered to be Batel from the Shemos? It's the Batel of the Shem Ksiva? What's Pshat? No, pop it up. Not true. The os is there. My little letter is there. We know the letter is there. There's something. There's a davar amaneya. There's something mibachutz. I say, Masha, what would that be? The person has the same Torah, and you take a tissue and you put it on top of some of the letters. You say, oh, the letters are bottle. If you can't read the letters, it's a joke. That's absurd. So once you're arguing, when you have wax on top of the letter, it's just that the wax is a little bit stuck to the letter, but it's not the vat of the same os. The os is still there. Well, why? You have to remove it. You can't do the letters. You don't know what to read. So you have to remove the wax. The letter is not in this bottle yet. Well, one can say, no, the wax is much worse than the tissue. In the case of the tissue, it's not connected to the letter. The wax is not as connected onto the letter. So what's the pshat of this halacha? You have to say the Torah, and you have wax that's covering over the letters. You can't see what's there. So what's pshat? It's pshat that the ksiva is basically still intact, that the ksiva has not been this bottle yet. It's just the davrach minyami lachutz. But you say, no, that the ksiva is not as this bottle. So look over the bach, tell you a big chiddush. The Bach is saying that when a person removes wax that's covering the letter of the Sefer Torah, that's called Meichek Amanas Lichtov, but in effect the Bach is saying that it's not Kosov right now. I mean, the letter is Ois letter, the letter is lost, it's Chalashem of an Os, the Ksiv has been his Batla. So what's the Lechus Meichek? Lechus Meichek is to do a Pa'ula that's going to enable you to write afterwards. It's a Meichek Amanas Lichtov. You're doing some act of a Mechika, which is now enabling the Ksiv to take place. So I understand the Bach Chiddush that when you scratch off wax with the top of the letter on the Sefer Torah, that's called Mochek. That only makes sense if the letter is not Kosov tefillah. But if al pi halacha the letter is still intact, al pi halacha the oath has not been nisbatel yet, so then what kind of malachi is that? Okay, that would be like tantamount to, you have a tissue on top of the letter. Would anybody in the right mind say, take the tissue off? Oh, you just said it after malachi. What kind of malachi? It's not malachi. The letter's there already. Malachi means when you do something to enable the existence of the letter, the creation of the letter afterwards. So the Chayyim of Bach is telling us a tremendous chiddush in Hilchas Ksiva. Hilchas Ksiva says, the Torah is full of mezuzos, that a letter that's covered over with wax, L'chora is considered to be Kaman Zaleisa, as the letter has already been Mestatla. So here the Achorim say that this doesn't seem to be correct. That the post came in Hilchas Tvilin and Simin Lama Days, you might have from, and the later post can assume that Yisod is in fact not correct. When you have a letter on the Sefer Torah, it's full of mezuzos, and it's covered over with wax, so we assume in halacha that that's not this bottle of the Shemos. Proof positive that's not this bottle of the Shemos. So the Magen Avraham says that there are two halachas that emanate, that stem from that nekuda, that the oath is still halachic, we consider it to be there. What are the two halachas? Comes the Magen Avraham and says, as Elzon already alluded to, there's a halacha called Chak Tochos. Chak Tochos is the Gemara in the second year, and we spoke about this. I think we spoke about this in Hilchos Shabbos a couple of weeks ago. Because Aloha in Masechet Gittin, when you write a get, you have to actively form the letter of the get. You can't push away the background, thereby the letter is created by itself. So let's say if you have some kind of a mold or something, and rather than actually writing the letter, rather than actually scratching out the letter, you push back. Background of the letter is belayed by itself. So that get is not acceptable. That's called the cost of love, the chokha. That's the pasuk. You need a maisik siv. Maisik siv means you have to humanly actively form the letter. The letter cannot be formed by itself because you're pushing away what's behind it. So the Rishonim writes that deem the cost of love, the chokha, is not only true by Gittin, it's true by Sefer Torah, it's full of mezuzahs, that's the din of chak tochos. That's the reason the Shulchan Aruch tells us, let's say, the swiper is writing, and he's about to write a yud, and he spills a little bit of ink, you know, he makes a little bit of a blob on the Sefer Torah. So no problem. Rather than erasing all the ink and starting all over again, he just carves out the edges of the ink, and he plays around with it a little bit, and now he's got a beautiful yud in front of him. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, that Sefer Torah is possible with the Raisa, because that's not called Ksiva. The Torah says, Kisvul comes to Shira Zos. The Sefer Torah has to be written from beginning to end. The Torah has to be written from beginning to end. That's called Chakika. Just as Chakika is not acceptable in Gittin, so to Chakika is not acceptable in Ksiva, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, or Mezuzahs. What is it? Oh, that's the Tumashem. That was the Rashba said. The Rashba said that you're not chayav for Shabbos, for Chas Pekas either. And the Ran says, no, the Ran says that it's not called Ksiva for other areas, but for Shabbos. But like Machshev is also a term that is still considered to be a Maisa Kosev vis-a-vis other areas, vis-a-vis Hilchos Shabbos. That's the Shalom that we showed him. So comes the Magen Avraham and says, what would halacha be in the following case? If you have a letter that was written in Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzahs, and poops some wax fell on the letter, so what's the din? Are you allowed to just take the wax off? Is there anything wrong with just removing the wax? When you're removing the wax, then the letter is going to appear. The letter is going to now be visible. Is that acceptable or not? Is that called chak tochos? Comes the Magen Avraham and says, depends. If you hold that when you have wax that's covering on a letter, that's this bottle of shame os, that means it doesn't exist, it doesn't have a shame os on it now. So what's transforming this letter now to have a shame os? Your removal of the wax. That's a no-no. To remove the wax, which is hereby creating the letter, that's like chaktachos. That's the same as scratching away the blob of ink, which is forming the letter. That's like pushing away the background, which is forming the letter. That's chakika, that's possum in a Torah. So says the Magen Avraham, if you would hold that the wax on a letter is considered to be mimbevata the shemos, so you would not be permitted just to scrape off the wax and say that the Sefer Torah is kosher. You would have to erase the whole thing and start over again. So says the Magen Avraham, that's not the halacha. Says the Magen Avraham, the halacha is that if you have a letter that was written to Kashrus and now there's wax on top of it, so just to remove the wax is not a problem. Why is removing the wax not a problem? Because the answer is you're not creating the shemos through removing the wax. The wax is already. You created the shemos 20 years ago when you wrote the Sefer Torah. Now something happened. Now a tissue fell onto it. So would anybody say, if a tissue falls onto the Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to remove the tissue, that's called chatech. That's a joke. Because you're not creating the letter, you're just removing the meinea, which is preventing you from seeing the letter that's already there. The letter of the halacha is still present. And the Magen Avraham goes one step further, and he says, not only are you allowed to do this, you're allowed to remove the wax in a Sefer Torah, but you're even allowed to remove the wax in Tefillin and Mezuzahs also. Why is that significant? So in Tefillin and Mezuzahs, as an addition to Halacha, who also make a Sidra, and the Mechilta derives from a Pasuk, so the Mechilta says, that the Ksivas HaPashas of Tefillin and Mezuzahs have to be done Kisidron. You have to write from the first letter of the Pasha Tzol to the last letter of the last Pasha Tzol. And the Mezuzah has to be from beginning to end. You're not allowed to go out of order. In the Sefer Torah, there is no such halacha. In the Sefer Torah, you want to write Devarim first, you want to write Gracious Lady, you want to write some letters first, some letters later. You can do whatever you want in the Sefer Torah. But in Tzol and Mezuzah, there's a special exercise across it. It has to be Kisidron. That's why a mistake in Tzol and Mezuzah is very, very difficult to fix. Because if you have a mistake, say 20 years later you find that there's a mistake in the Tefillin and Mezuzahs, you're usually going to have to put the Parshas into Shemus. Because it's very, very difficult to fix them, because if you fix them, it affects your writing, that letter that you're fixing, Shalom Kisidron. The only exception, one of the exceptions to that rule is, to be Shemim right, let's say the letter is basically there already. It has a Tzuras Os, even though it happens not to be Kosher, it happens to be that there's some technical quirk in Hilchus Kisidron, the Tefillin and Mezuzahs, that prevents that letter from being kosher right now, but it has still a Tzuras Os. I mean, you look at the letter, you can tell, it's basically that letter. Let's say the Moshel Yud. So, the Gemara says that in order for Yud to be kosher, it has to have a Kutza Shel Yud. So, it's a Machlekes and Rishonim, what does Kutza Shel Yud mean? The Gemara says, the famous, that Kutza Shel Yud is Ma'akev, in Sefer Torah Tzvon Mezuz, Ma'akev Mida Araisa, if one of the Yudim in the entire Sefer Torah Tzvon Mezuz, I'm missing a Kutza Shel Yud. So, what is the famous Hadwa Fadot, the famous, about yeah. But he was wrong. It was just not Amaratzas, because if you write Hillel, it's all about Hillel, so I think it says enough of Gittin that if you write Hillel without a Yud, it's also kosher. But not for that. So the never understood good, it's not worth it. So comes the Gemara says Barachas Achostef, and says that if you're missing even one Kutza Shel Yud, the whole thing is possible. So Rashi holds that Kutza Shel Yud means the right leg of the Yud. We call the regular Yud. According to Rashi, a Yud that's lacking at Kutza Shel Yud means it's just a blob. That's the whole lot of Yud. It's between the regular. So Rabbi Natan says, no, that's not the Kutza Shel Yud. Rabbi Natan says, that's Pshita. Rabbi Natan says, that's not called missing the Kutza Shel Yud. That's called not a Yud. That's called a drop of ink. It's not a space of cloud. So says Rabbi Natan, what does Kutza Shel Yud mean? Kutza Shel Yud means the little cult on the left side of the Yud. If you take a look at the Yud in the Sefer Torah, so you'll notice that most of the Rishonim present Rabbi Natan, there's a little shmitzik coming down to the bottom on the left side, a little mash, a little Kutza Shel Yud, a little tiny edge that comes down a little bit. Says Rabbi Natan, that's Ma'akev. That's the Kutza Shel Yud of the Gemara. That's quite a chumrah. So we try to be a Sefer Ben Atam also. When we write the good Sefer Torah Tzvon Mezuzahs, so have not only Rashi's Kutza Shel Yud, have Ben Atam's Kutza Shel Yud also. So the Rishonim write, let's say a person wrote a Yud, and if he wrote a whole Pasha Tzvon Mezuzahs, then he realizes, no, the first Yud in Vayadaber is missing a Kutza Shel Yud. So can he go back now and fix that Yud? So the post can say it depends. If it's missing Rashi's Kutza Shel Yud, missing the regular Yud, it's Mamash Aramos, it's a joke. You look at it, you can't even tell it's a Yud, it looks like a blob of ink. So that you can't fix, that would be a violation of Shalom Kisidra. But let's say it's only missing Rabbi Natan's Kutza Shel Yud. So any little kid can look at it and see right away that it's Yud. But there's a special halacha, Kachlem halacha, it has to have a Kutza Shel Yud also. So that Kutza Shel Yud of Rabbi Natan does not affect the SM Tzuras Os. Tzuras Os it has, it's just lacking a particular prod in terms of being a kosher Os. A Yud it is, but it's not a kosher Yud. So the Rishonim already write, the Svaimini quotes, and the Rishonim read this Pshara, that for the Psul of Shalom Kisidron, so as long as the letter has a basic Tzuras Os, the basic identifiable as a letter, so then the Dievet, even in Tzuras Os, you can go ahead and fix it afterwards, because that's not called the Shalom Kisidron. But if the Tzuras Os is not missing, so then to fix it afterwards would be possible in the Torah, that would be a lack of Kisidron. So comes the Magen Avraham, and raises the following shayla. So if you have a letter in Tefillin Mezuzahs, it was written probably 20 years ago, this Kedas Vadin, 20 years later, a little bit of wax falls on it. So the question becomes, are you allowed to now remove the wax? Is that considered to be Shalom Kisidron? So let's say, worst case scenario, let's say you wrote Parshas Tefillin Mezuzahs, Kedas Vadin 20 years ago, and now one of the letters got erased over time, it rubbed out. So you're not allowed to fix that letter afterwards, because to fix the letter afterwards, if it's lacking Tzuras Os, to fix the letter afterwards is called the Chisaron Deraisa of Shalom Kisidron. So comes the Magen Avraham and says, that din doesn't apply to wax that falls on the letter. Why? Very simple, says the Magen Avraham. That's not called Shalek Yisidra. That's not called a Ksiva Shalek Yisidra. The letter's already there. The letter's still there. The Mangan of Ram, the Shittasai, the same way the Mangan of Ram says that it's not a problem of Chaktochos, removing of wax. So too, it's not a problem of Shalek Yisidra, removing of wax, because you're not writing the letter. The letter was already written. The letter wasn't as Vata. If the letter was rubbed out, was scratched out or something, you can't tell what it is anymore. So that's a problem. But they're right. So you can't rewrite the letter because that's Shalek Yisidra. But if the letter is still there, it's just covered with something, even though what it's covered with is with wax. So the Chara, that should not pose a problem. That shouldn't disqualify the Tzorah Mezuzahs based on the din of Shalek Yisidra. So come the Acharonim, Hinuch HaShabbos now and jump on the Bach and say, Hinuch is Tefillin, we postulate the Magen Avraham. Everybody quotes this Magen Avraham Mahalacha. But if you have a letter that's written, it was written Kedas HaKadin, and now there's wax on it, it's not a problem. You can remove the wax. That's not a Chisaron of Chak Teiches. You can even remove the wax and fill in the Mezuzah. That's not a Chisaron of Shalek Yisidron, because the letter of the Halacha is there. The letter is still considered to be a Dinkama on it. It's just a technical quirk, a technical detail that it's covered over. You got to remove the wax. You got to get rid of the wax. But that's, the removal of the wax isn't considered to be an act of kaisei, which would be a problem of it happening by itself, and that would be a problem of Shalok Yisidron, because what you're doing, you're not really creating a ksiv. The ksiv is already there. So come to Yechmerim and say, Im Kain, if the Magen Avraham is right, then the Bach can't be right. That how did the Bach say in Shabbos, removal of wax, or the Sefer Torah, is considered to be an act of mochek, because you're being machshir the ksiva. What do you mean machshir the ksiva? Is there any? Mochek means when you have a big letter and now you're erasing it in order to enable you to write the little letters. Well, mochek means like the case of a rush. You got a big blob of ink on the table and now you're erasing it in order to be able to write a letter afterwards. Mochek means when the letter that you want to write isn't there and you're doing something to create that letter. Mashenke in the wax is still on the letter's there already. So what you're doing is garnish. You're not doing a hechshek siva. The osu is already ksuva. So coming to the halacha, he quotes this question, all the Acharonim jump in the Bach, and comes to the Bach and says he thinks the Yisoid of the Bach sheet is a fundamental Yisoid, Hilchos Mochek. That's really a Yisoid that permeates throughout Hilchos Shabbos, because way beyond the particular Halacha of Mochek. It's a Yisoid that we've spoken about a little bit in the past, which runs as follows. We have a whole series of Malachas out there, which are the dual Malachas, the paired Malachas. There's Bona and Soser, and there's Kareh and Topher, and there's Kosen and Mochek. A lot of malachas where one of the parts of the malachas, one of the malachas is to do the action, and the other part of the malachas is to, in effect, undo something to enable you to do the positive constructive action. So these three malachas, the malachas of Soser and Bona, the malachas of Mochek and Kosei, the malachas of Kareh and Topher. So one can raise the following shadow, the following hakira. Let's take, for example, we'll take Kareh and Topher for a minute, because we spoke about that in the past. The Mishnah, when it presents these malachas, the Mishnah says, Topher based tefiras is chayev. Hakareya amanas lip for is chayev. If you rip something with the intent to resell it, that's considered to be chayev and Shabbos. So yesh lachor. What's the nature of that halacha that you require amanas lip for? Why does the Mishnah say that the only time you chayev the rice and Shabbos is amanas lip for? So we're going to present one of two reasons. Either one can understand this halacha of amanas lip for as the very definition of the malacha. I mean, this is how the malacha was practiced in the Mishkan, which the Ma'is it was. In the Mishkan, what did they do? They did Kareyas. So the Gemara's all sugyas about the different Kareyas and then the Tefira when they were creating the curtains, all the different acts of Kareyas and Taif and everything they were doing. So the way the malacha was practiced in the Mishkan was Kareyas Amanas Lefar. Therefore, Kach Nimsa did the Zairus that only Kareyas Amanas Lefar is Chayav. And if it's anything short of Amanas Lefar Mamish, you're going to be part of it. So I'll give you this Adirabam. The Tzuras HaMalacha, the very Etzem Hashem HaMalacha is Kareyas Amanas Lefar. Is that Pshah? Or is that not Pshah at all? Kareyas Amanas Lefar, you know why you need Amanas Lefar? Because we have a clown of the Shabbos called Makalpul and Peturin. So if you do a malach in a destructive manner, so that's a special, there's a malach, that's not called malach as machshavas, it's called makalkal and peturim. So any other case of kareya, the definition is going to be derech kilku. You just stop, you rip your shirt, that's called derech kilku. So the reason why you need amanas litfor is not because you really need amanas litfor. Amanas litfor is just an illustration of an act of tikkun. So you could find another act of tikkun. Let's say you could dig up another situation which would also qualify as an act of tikkun, as a constructive kriya. You'd be chayav for that also. I found amanas litfor. It doesn't matter. Amanas litfor is not an end-all. Amanas litfor is not the definition of the malacha proper. Amanas litfor is just an example that Chazal gave. It's the common example. 99% of the time, that is the example. That's the pro prototype of tikkun, but the real halacha is korea derech tikkun. Korea amenas l'sakein, that's the real halacha. Just Chazal colloquially use the phrase amenas l'sakein, that's the way it usually is. By nafkamina, tremendous nafkamina. What do you do an act of korea that is very constructive, but it's not amenas l'sakein? Will you be chayvena? So there are rishayim who seem to say no. Rashi, that Korea Shalom Amanas Litzvah Mamish is Pater on Shabbos. It has to be literally Amanas Litzvah. And there are other Rishonim who say no, who say that as long as it's Korea Derech Tikkun, that's also acceptable. That's not acceptable. It's also bad. It's also an Issur D'oraisa. So it's Machlek is a Rishonim. So the Be'er Halacha claims that he can't understand how any Rishon could say that you would be Pater. He thinks there's a raya barua from the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Nafkuf Hei that kareya, any kareya derech tikkun is chayiv on Shabbos, they need that be amras l'tfor. Gemara says, what's the din? If a person has kareya al meisa on Shabbos, a mishnah on Shabbos, a person tears kriya because he wants to be yotzei din of kriya. That because Beltov just died and he gets the Beltov dies on Shabbos, so he goes and he tears kriya on Shabbos. You know, I tear kriya on Shabbos, obviously. Comes the Gemara and says, the guy who tears kriya on Shabbos is chayiv for chilul Shabbos. The Gemara says, why is he chayav chilul Shabbos? It's derech kilkul. The Gemara says, that's not called derech kilkul. That's fulfilling, in a sense, the mitzvah of kriya. That means he's carving himself down. He's doing whatever kriya is supposed to do. So that's a derech tikkun. That's a constructive act that he's doing. Says the Be'alava, it's not amenas litfor. Not only is it amenas litfor, you're not even allowed to be tzeis for the kriya. Some of the kriyas, of the emo example, you're not even allowed to go ahead and reshow it afterwards. When the guy tears kriya by the levaya, he's not tearing kriya amenas litfor. He's tearing kriya to be yanked to the din of kriya. And Abba B'chayim, the Gemara says, Yechayim, that's called derech tikkun. So says the Be'alava, if the Gemara says, tell away that you don't need amenas litfor, the only reason why you need amenas litfor is that it should be qualified as derech tikkun. Will you see you could find some other derech tikkun? You also need Yechayim. So it's not the Pelham that they say, I'm trying to be Miyashiv, why that is different, why that case is not necessarily a Raya. But the Mishnebura is the Chal, not Mishyachis, to those Rishonim who disagree. He assumes it's a Zohar portion, like those Rishonim who say, that Kareya, even Shlom, and Asluk for is Chayim, because the Rambam says that Mefarish, that as long as it's Kareya, Derech Tikkun, that's going to be Chayim. This is an interesting Nafkamina. This is part of the Shalom, whether it's ripping toilet paper, so this is the Rice, and this is the Rabbanon. If you hold that you need Amanas Lit for Mamish, then clearly ripping toilet paper would only be a Rabbanon. If you hold you don't need Amanas Lit for, if you hold like the Mishnah Berurah Zachra, that Amanas Lit was just an example of a positive Kriya. So here also it's positive, so totally the person needs a toilet paper. That would also be a Nisid Rice, and chaps perhaps, unless for other considerations. Forget, so the Mishnah Berurah is... No, that's a different question. Maybe paper is Bukhal, not Shaf, the Korea, that's Shavacharabar. That's a different, other consideration. But in terms of the stuff that's lit for, Mishnah Berurah was not a big fan of Amanas lit for. He held Amanas lit for his left off, because it means Amanas
lit for. Said, it's not act of kilkul to begin with.
Well, it is, you're destroying your shirt. The person is destroying the shirt, so from the vantage point, the shirt is...
Now, there's not two stages.
Okay, there's a Be'er Halacha that talks about that also, about do you need Amanas Lusachin later, or can the act of Tikkun and Kilkul be simultaneous? Okay, interesting. So yeah, so the Be'er Halacha says that this is true, this you said, he's convinced it's true, he doesn't accept this, he's convinced it's true, Amanas Lusachin is Lavdavka. Says, well, who are the Nami? By the other Malachas, let's say the Moshe by Merchek. What's the din? So here also the Mishnah speaks about Merch Amanas Lichtov. So the same Chakira, why do you need Amanas Lichtov? You need Amanas Lichtov in order that's the Tzuras HaMalacha. That's the way the Malacha was in the Mishkan. Sachas, the Gemara says, that they used to erase the letters on the Krashim when they would rematch the Krashim because in order to, they would make a mistake, they'd write the wrong letter, they would erase it to write the right letter. So that's the way the Malacha was practiced in the Mishkan. Kach Nimsal Adairus, that has to be Dafka Amanas Lichtov. But you say, no, the same story. The only reason why you need Amanas Lichtov is just simply because otherwise it's Derech Kilkul. So the Prima Gadav already raises the Shiloh. What would be the din if a person erases something? It's not Amanas Lichtov, but it's very, very constructive. So says the Prima Gadav, let's say I owe you $1,000. I write you an IOU. Finally, I come and I pay you the money, and you give me the IOU note back. So the guy is so excited. What does he do? He takes his eraser and erases the letters in the IOU so no one should ever find it and think that he owes the guy $1,000 anymore. Says the Prima Gadav, he does that in Shabbos. That he chayev or not. So if you hold Amanas Lichtov, it's literally Amanas Lichtov. It's not Amanas Lichtov. But if you hold that, it's just Amanas Lichtov, that you have to do some kind of a constructive of a tikkun, of a mechika. This guy's thrilled what he's doing. He's getting rid of, he's happy, he's getting rid of that IOU note. That's the suffering of the Prima Gadav. So comes the Be'er Halacha, there's a Vav Yishchayev. there's no shal about it. Avad is chayev. The same way the Korea Amanas Masachin is chayev. So to the Korea, the Moichik Amanas Masachin is chayev as well. So comes the Be'aloch and says, he thinks this is the answer to the Bach. If the halacha would have been like the Beis Yosef, like the others who say that Kareh has to be Mamash Amanas Lichtov, and Mochik has to be Mamash Amanas Lichtov, then the Bach would not be correct. But how can you say the person who's removing the wax off of the letters is Mochik Amanas Lichtov? The letters cost him already. The letters there already. I'll feel like it's there, right? It's not a filling, it's not a chakteikas bomb, it's not a stick of sidrin bomb. The letters there. So what kind of mocham nas lichtov? That's a joke. That's not mocham nas lichtov. How could be amnas lichtov? It's already cost of. So it's a be alocha. But the emes is that korea amnas lichtov is chayav. And the emes is that mochik derech titlon is chayav. It need not be amnas lichtov. So says the Be'alocha, the Bach is a classic example of a Meichik, Derech Tikkun. It means, true, the letter is there, but it's not readable. You can't see the letter. So you're doing an act of Mechika, and in your act of Mechika, you're doing something positive. You're now enabling yourself to read the Sefer Torah. A minute ago, you couldn't read the letter that was under the wax. And now that you're removing the wax, you're able to see the letter. So that's Mochik, you're removing something. Mochik, Derech Tikkun. You're enabling yourself now to be able to read the Sefer Torah. It's not Mechik, Amanas Lichtov, any stretch of the imagination, because it's not called Amanas Lichtov, because it's already there. The letter's already out there, Mochik is there. So if the din would have been, we would have been a real stickler for the din of Amanas Lichtov, like the Meshesh, like Kray and Taifer, so then Taka the Bach wouldn't have been correct. But since the Mishnah Berurah Lishitasa, it was Machriya and Uchus Kareya against the Beis Yosef, it was Machriya based on the Gemara Shabbos Kufay Bekareya Meisai, that Kareya Manas Usachin is sufficient to be Chayav, who was denied by Mercha Manas Usachin, and the Bach is a classic example of a Mercha Manas Usachin.
Well, this doesn't have to do anything with the
Rosh. No, you just need the Rosh started the ball, right, because the Rosh started the ball rolling, By saying that the emphasis of Malachas Mochik is Hechshek Sidra. That's what really matters. Because the Mishnah says Mochik Beis Oisius. That's the Lashon of the Mishnah. So then the Gemara elaborates and says, well, Mochik Ois Kedola, Kedei Lichtov Ois Ketana, Lichtov Beis Ois Ketana is also Chayav. So the Rosh says, well, what's the difference whether what you erased is a letter or what you erased is a blob of ink? So the Bach says, well, what's the difference whether you erased a blob of ink or erased a blob of wax? So you need to get through the blob. Because the Gemara only speaks about Mochik of Isis, so you need the Rosh to extend Isis to Dio, and then the Bach extended it to Shava. But the extension of the Bach had the problems because of the Magen Avraham's time.
I don't think the extension of an extension, because one's on Kriya, which is a Maisa in itself of the Esau, and the other one is a Maisa group or something that's not a Dove Esau or a Maisa Dove Esau. Because the whole basis of the Kriya is a Maisa Esau when it's connected to something else. The wax itself isn't the Maisa Esau in its essence in itself. So it's like...
But he's saying that whatever... since the Rosh tells removal of ink constitutes an act of Mochik, so removal of ink is an act of Mochik, so sure, anything that's interfering without reading something, those are all an act of Mochik. That was the Bach show. The other Achrayim disagree with the Bach, and everyone agrees with the Bach. Extension. The Dam and Milsa
and
Milsa.
And the Kriya, the Maisa Kriya.
Yeah.
You know, the...
That's the same thing. Okay.